Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom, it's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by Fred Flights, a career intelligence professional, now the senior vice president of the Center for Security Policy, with responsibility for policy and programs at the center. He is a man who has served his country with great distinction in the analysis business at the Central Intelligence Agency for two decades as the chief of staff for Ambassador John Bolton at the State Department and as a professional staff member of the House Intelligence Committee. He is the author, most recently, of Obama Bomb, a dangerous and growing national security fraud. Fred Flights, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Good to be here, Frank.
Well, speaking of Obama Bomb, we are living with the consequences of this deal. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, Fred, is that the Iranians have announced this week that if the deal is undone, that they will be able to enrich to weapons-grade, highly enriched uranium, within just 5 days' time. What does that tell us about the effectiveness of this deal in actually neutralizing the Iranian threat?
I think it's very disturbing, and I want to correct the record because the media has been misrepresenting this. But let's keep in mind here that the Obama administration said this deal would keep Iran a year away from a nuclear bomb. Now, the Iranians said they could enrich uranium to 20% within 3 to 5 days at any time. Now, 20% is about 80% of the way to weapons-grade uranium, which they could probably make in 2 to 3 weeks. But the fact that they claim they could make 20% uranium that quickly, which is frankly that they shouldn't have, is very disturbing. It just shows that this deal is an out-and-out fraud. And the fact that they're claiming that they can do that, and I'm sure they can. It's just a matter of repiping the centrifuge machines that are currently allowed. They're allowed to operate over 5,000 centrifuges while the deal's in effect. They just have to do a little bit of repiping, and they can easily make the 20% uranium and then make the step to weapons-grade uranium, which is 90% uranium-235.
And Fred, I guess this raises the question as to whether or not they may already have stashed away actual weapons-grade uranium. Is that out of the realm of the possible based on what we know about their caches of secret facilities and materials in them?
Well, you know, experts are divided on that. Personally, I don't think they have weapons-grade uranium. I don't think they have secret caches of nuclear weapons. But there are many experts who disagree, including former CIA Director James Woolsey and my colleague Claire Lopez here at the Center for Security Policy. And when I hear these analyses, I say, you know, you guys might be right. Our intelligence agencies have been horribly wrong so many times on WMD programs. Personally, I don't think the Iranians are there yet, but I don't rule it out.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Claire Lopez, and I did want to just do a shout out to her for a terrific paper that she's just released. It's at the Center for Security Policy website, securefreedom.org. It mentions, among other things, something that's long bemused me, Fred, and I wonder if you've got an explanation for it. She notes that most of the countries that have gotten nuclear weapons have done so within, well, at most about 12 years. Others have taken advantage of the Russians or the Chinese or the Pakistanis or others to get up the learning curve more quickly. And yet we're told that the Iranians have been at this for something like 30 years and are still not there. It just seems incredible that that could be the case, especially since they, we know, have been getting help from some of the countries I've just mentioned, as well as, of course, North Korea. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's evidence of efforts by the current Iranian regime to pursue nuclear weapons since the 1980s, an intense effort in the 1990s. And I think Claire makes a point very clearly. What is the purpose of this nuclear program? Is it peaceful? I like to argue that Iran is the only nation in history to have a missile capable of firing 2,000 kilometers or longer without having nuclear weapons. These missiles are nuclear weapons delivery systems, and it doesn't make any sense that that is not the purpose of this program.
Hey, Fred, speaking of missiles, I did want to ask your thoughts about some photographs that have recently emerged from North Korea that suggest there may be some new additions to what has been, I think by any measure, an astonishingly aggressive pursuit of ballistic missile capabilities by the North Korean regime. What's the latest on that front?
Well, there were some photographs released by North Korea's state-run media with Kim Jong-un at a missile factory, and there were some photographs on the wall of two previously unknown or at least basically suspected missiles. We had to be careful about this because this might have been staged. One is called the Pukusan 3, which may be a solid-fueled ICBM. No one knows if this has been built or not, but it is a very dangerous thing because if the North Koreans have that, they could fire an ICBM at us with maybe 15 to 20 minutes preparation. The other is called the Hosong 13, which appears to be a three-stage ICBM, which may be liquid or solid fuel, and it is probably similar to a missile that was tested, the Hosong 14, on July 14th, 2017. The most worrisome thing was that there was a picture of Leader Kim standing next to wound filament reinforced plastic casing for a rocket body. This is significant because this is really the ultimate in lowering the weight of an ICBM.
Do we have any indication as to how they came by this breakthrough?
I think that is something that really needs to be looked into. This is a very advanced technology. Well, first of all, most of these missiles seem to be based on old Soviet designs. But there are some recent information that possibly there have been missile proliferation from Ukraine to China and to North Korea and Iran. This really needs to be run down.
When you look at this sort of proliferation activity, Fred Flights, and I know you've been following it very closely for decades, notably during your time at the Central Intelligence Agency and also in the State Department and on Capitol Hill. Is it the case, as you see it today, that there's not only a great deal of proliferation taking place to North Korea, but from North Korea? And what does that portend in terms of, well, for sure, other hostile states getting their hands on nuclear capabilities, but perhaps others as well, those who may not have the territory in which to deploy ballistic missiles, but who may well find a means of delivering nuclear weapons to shores like ours, perhaps by tramp steamer, namely, you know, terrorist organizations. Is that something we should be concerned about as well?
We should be very concerned about it because if you're a nation on Earth and you want to buy missiles, North Korea is the place to get them. North Korea has tried to sell missiles to at least 12 states, including Libya, Syria, Iran, Yemen, Egypt. I can't name them all off the top of my head. It's also worrisome that North Korea and Iran now seem to have such a close cooperation in missiles that each of them is assisting the other program. They're both developing parts of developing an ICBM program. This means Iran could be exporting missiles soon if they're not already doing that.
Yeah. And of course, what's going on in the ballistic missile program, which is somewhat more visible, is almost certainly going on as well with respect to nuclear weapons to go aboard them. A frightening, frightening picture. Fred Flights, thank you so much for the tremendous work you do at the Center for Security Policy. I want to, again, thank both you and Claire Lopez for the bird-dogging of the need to get out from under this joint cooperative plan of action, as it's called, the Obama bomb deal. Check out her paper at securefreedom.org, folks, and check out Fred Flights when he joins us again next week. Thank you, Fred. And I hope the rest of you will join us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.